Good morning, ladies and gents. The noise you can hear in the background in the team car is the heaters, the window de-misters. Welcome to autumn in the Fens, hey? I think it's fair to say we've made it to that time of year, haven't we? I'm relatively happy that the weather's not fantastic at the moment, so I'm, for the first time in many years, actually taking a good full 2 weeks off cycling. Not off podcasting, or watching cycling, or buying stuff to do with cycling, or anything like that. Just actually physically not riding, just having an end of year, shall we say, break from the day-to-day, the day-to-day concentration of riding and training and all of that kind of stuff. No, not that I train massively, but, you know, 100 miles a week-ish is quite hard work when you're an old guy. So, I'm just enjoying a little bit of headspace, a little bit of rest for the whole of my aching old body, and so far it's been okay. I'm starting to miss it. I'm starting to look in the garage at my winter bike and think, let's get that ready and get going. So I suspect it won't be long till there's some form of activity on the bike. But I don't know. Is everyone else having a little end of season rest, something different? You know, I thought about doing a bit of jogging for a couple of weeks before, and I didn't think about that for long, of course, but I did think about jogging a little bit, and we've taken a few family walks, and little things like, you know, little family time on a Saturday and Sunday morning, which is unusual, because during the summer I'd been going out at kind of 6 on a Saturday morning to get back for 8, to then do rugby training till 10, and you know, you kind of need to do something different and have a little rest from that continually, and you know, I'm enjoying it so far. I am starting to get needy. How is everyone then? How were the worlds for you? It's really difficult as like an amateur podcaster to report on the worlds. One, because I was at the NFL at Wembley, so I didn't actually sit down and watch it. And two, because even if you do sit down and watch it, there's kind of a large chunk missing later on in the race where the TV power went down, which was a shame, because as a world championship bike race, it was pretty good. I think the course and the scenery, the fact that there was mountains and coastline and cobbles and a lovely city, it was pretty much the perfect location to have a world championships. As we said last week, we talked about the time trials into the road races, really, and the women's was particularly special. They properly savaged each other on the uphill and the downhill back into town. It looked at one point as though maybe in Hannah Barnes we had a world champion elect. Obviously, Lizzie Dygan, having had her appendix out recently, was a little way short, although she did a much better ride, I think, than many people thought. And, you know, she was in the mix quite late on. And it was interesting because it kind of set the platform for the men's event, because the way it kind of contracted out on the Santa costume wearing supporters lined climb, it kind of accordioned out and came back, but it came back with a few less. Some people managed to get back on the descent, some people didn't, you know, and each lap it kind of became an attritional, and the race was won by people going out of the back rather than necessarily, you know, going off the front, you know, of course an attack won it at the end, but you know, in terms of thinning it down. And that was exactly the same principle for the men's event, really. Although it ended up in quite a big group sprint, there was, you know, still a bit of work to do to isolate some of the favourites. I think probably the biggest name that did get dropped was Bosun Hagen. You saw him coasting in about a minute or so after the race was won at the finish. You have to look at it as a championships that Christoph will probably rue, because I think it was the one he let get away. I think if he throws his bike in the same way and gets, you know, off the back of the saddle as much as Sagan does, I think he might hang on. And to get to that position in a home world championship, having not had a fantastically stellar couple of years, really, since he dominated Flanders, to get that close, it'll be interesting to see how Christophe responds. I would imagine if he's not having an end of season break, there's been a bit of soul searching. There's been some, you know, lengthy rides around his home, maybe not even using the power meter or anything like that, just spinning his legs and thinking, you know, what could and you know, should is quite a strong word, but there is, you know, a distinct feeling in my mind, at least, that he should have maybe won that. And it's sad for him, maybe, that he didn't. Elsewhere, the French team executed a pretty decent plan. Much better than the Italian plan, which seemed to be catapult people off team cars. In Galopin Sofner, you felt he never quite got the gap, did he? He never quite got that extra sort of 5-10 metres, which would have made the people chasing behind maybe think, right, let's let him go and you know, let him burn out. They never quite got that rope. But it worked as a softener for the Isle of Philippe attack, which was really, really brutal. And, you know, maybe if Gilbert had the legs to go with him, or I think it was Terpstra, wasn't it? Maybe if they'd have had the legs to get over the top with him and they'd have combined, there might have been, you know, there might have been an upset for the sprinters on the cards. As it was, Alaphilippe had to try and go with Moscon. He pretty quickly decided that wasn't for the best, so he managed to shake him off. So yeah, it was the camera pictures going just kind of went at exactly the wrong moment, didn't they? Because it was interesting that at that point to see where, you know, where the challenges, where the chase was going to come from. And you know, it didn't come hard and hot until quite late on. And Sagan rode it in the way that only he can ride it, really. He didn't actually sniff the wind till like right near the end. Of course, there are, you know, reports that from then there was this helicopter footage that emerged. There was these reports that he did work quite hard to do some chasing, and he was working to stop Gaviria getting away late on. So it's not like he cheated his way to the world championship. And being a canny rider, that's why you win bike races. And the achievement of being a thrice champion of the world should never be overlooked, for sure. And it's a brilliant piece of work by him to get there. So fair play to him. And the next couple of courses are, you know, could even be suitable for him to go on again. You know, Innsbruck, you would think, might be a bit too hilly. Yorkshire, though, sounds like it could be, you know, completely up his street. Short, sharp, brutal climbs. If they take the worlds up Shipton Wall, for example, then, you know, he's going to be all over that. In other news, as we move on to wrap up, the Tour of Yorkshire stage towns have been announced. And we've got places like Halifax and Leeds and Ilkley. So, you know, really good traditional Yorkshire cycling names. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see when the full race route's announced later on in the year. There's a lot of other reasonably exciting stuff happened. Entries have opened for the Etap UK, which the rebranded Dragon Ride in Wales. So if that's your thing, get on and enter that before they sell out. Other than that, that is about all for this week's show. So we will be back in a week or so. With the 80th edition of the Fendrian podcast. Until then, have a good week and enjoy your cycling if you're cycling, and enjoy your slight lie-ins if you meet. And we'll speak again soon, no doubt. And ciao for now.